You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Why should Christians have a sense of urgency in preaching the gospel? Learn more about our calling to evangelism in week 5 of our series, Forward.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Please shake the hand of the person beside you for a while. Tell your seatmate, the weather is warm, but God's love is warmer. We are down to the fifth installment of our series called Forward. It's just a great thing to know the progression of Peter's perspective of the gospel. We've been looking at the life of Peter and what he has to say about his experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just see a show of hands for who of you have been a Christian for at least 5 years now. You've been a Christian, not just being connected with Victory Dumaguete. As a Christian, at least 5 years. Can you see your hand for a while? Okay, there's quite some of us. Since dito, you grew up in a Christian home. You grew up in a Christian home. You attended Sunday school. Okay, how about those who've been a Christian for just over a year? 2 years pa lang kayong Christian. Okay, sino sa inyo dito hindi kayo Kristiyano? You're welcome here, actually. All right, so it's actually good that you're here. You know what? It's a rather special week for me because yesterday I just celebrated my 15th year in Dumaguete City. All right, so I came here for a shooting on May 20, 2002. And the rest is history. No, seriously, I came here May 20, 2002, and I remember coming here, can't speak Cebuano, don't have any friends. Though I have an uncle here, some of you who's from Siliman, you know my uncle. Itago na lang natin sa pangalang Professor Tan. Anyway, the two greatest things that has happened in my life here in Dumaguete is basically, I fell in love twice in this city. Okay, I fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and with my wife, okay, of 7 years now. So, why am I sharing that? I don't know. Okay? It's just that I love the thought that I've been here for 15 years now. And I'm looking forward to the next 5, 10, 15 years of just being here, building my castle here, and everything. Okay, we are looking at the series called Forward. We're looking at the life of Peter, his perspective of what God has done in his life. And I don't know with you, but looking at this series, I wish to make us understand that all of us here this afternoon can actually relate with the life of Peter. Why? I think for the most obvious reason that the Peter that we're looking at here is not a perfect one. Growing up in a very deep religious culture in the Philippines, sometimes when we think about Saint Peter, Saint Paul, or Saint Ignatius, we always have such high regards for these people, and rightly so, because they are martyrs of the faith. But I want us to understand that they themselves were not perfect for that matter. And that is why we're looking at the progression of his life. We know for a fact that Peter himself created a lot of blunders. Who am I here? As a Christian, you made a lot of mistakes. You've had some mistakes in your life. Who am I here seated beside someone who looks so perfect? Oh, okay. All right. So all of us here, we will make mistakes in our lifetime. Well, I'm not saying that we will use those kinds of thoughts as a justification as to why we cannot honor God. Okay, we will make mistakes. Sasha Pachulia made a very big mistake of doing something against his purse. He will regret that for the rest of his life. But anyway, I encountered a very interesting trivia just last week. I have this trivia. This animal is called an emu. Okay, do you call it emu? It's an Australian emu. And what's fascinating about this animal, according to my source, a reliable source, is this animal can only walk forward. Okay, meaning to say this animal cannot walk backwards. So I hope and pray that this is the same way with our Christianity, with our Christian walk. I want you to understand that the baggages of the past should be left in the past. Okay, God desires for us to move forward, leave behind the hurts, leave behind the wounds, because there's no way for you to grow if you keep looking backwards, okay? This emu animal is known for that, so yung iba po sa inyo dito, kung pa-emu-emu kayo sa buhay nyo, tigilan nyo na yan. Okay po? Okay, let's try to look at this for a while. I can actually promise you that this could be one of the simplest and shortest preaching that I'll deliver in this pulpit. This is basically a continuation from last Sunday's preaching. So if you were not here, Tom preached a powerful and extensive message about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today is a continuation of that. We don't have time to cover what was covered last week, but I trust that if you were not here last week, you'll go on the podcast and listen to their preaching. Because today is basically just the application of what was preached last week. Okay, let me talk about Peter for a minute. Peter had a mandate. Can everybody say that with me? Mandate. What is a mandate? A mandate is basically a call, something that has been asked of him. Peter had a mandate, and I want us to understand this. His mandate, as one of the first few leaders of the church, is our mandate right now. And his mandate is very simple. Peter's mandate, as well as our mandate, is to what? To preach the gospel. Okay? That is our mandate. What is being asked of us as Christians is for us to preach the gospel. Now, I do understand that it can be a cliche thinking about the gospel. Okay, here we go again. Preach the gospel again. Honor God. Make disciples again. HGMD once again. I want us to understand, you know, when you keep doing things again and again, there's actually a danger for us to be familiar with all of these things. But I trust God that God is going to break the spirit of monotony here in this place this afternoon. That is going to break the monotony in your life, that you're going to look at this in a fresh perspective. Amen. Okay, Peter's mandate is to preach the gospel. Now, first things first, just a brief recap. What does it mean when you say gospel? What is the gospel? Tell the person beside you farewell, what is the gospel? Ask that person. Okay, wag niyo na sagutin, baka mamaya mali pa yung sagot niyo. Okay, what is the gospel? First things first, in an experiential perspective, okay? I'm not looking at the definition, just an experiential perspective. The reason why you're here this afternoon is because of the gospel. The reason why we get to sing songs to God is because of the gospel. The reason why we can lift our hands before God is because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this. The gospel of God is powerful. The gospel of grace, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a powerful one. Now, we can look at the gospel in so many forms, or we will arrive at the same thing. But you know what? There are different lens at which we can look into that. We can talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucifixion, and all of these things. But allow me to borrow what Dr. Rice Brooks says about the gospel. And I hope and pray this is something that we get to memorize. Okay, as an Every Nation community, as a Victory family, we get to embrace this and really understand this word per word as to why he wrote it this way. He starts asking, what is the gospel? Then he says, the gospel is the good news that God became man in Christ Jesus. Doctrine of incarnation. He lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, doctrine of resurrection, proving that he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation to all who repent and believe in him. Okay, in a nutshell, that is what the gospel is. We don't really have time to cover everything, but in a nutshell, that is what the gospel is. And I hope and pray that as God's people, as a Christian, we will never live a single day of our life not preaching the gospel to us. Okay? We have to understand what the gospel is. So, whenever you talk about the gospel, what does it mean to preach the gospel then? If that is what the gospel is, that God became man in Christ Jesus, living the life that we should have lived, dying the death that we should have died in our place, 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, and now he's offering the free gift of salvation to those who repent of their sins and put their trust in him. So if that is the case, what then is the gospel? A lot of times we think the gospel is like Billy Graham preaching on a pulpit. That could be a picture of what preaching the gospel is. Whenever we start thinking about preaching the gospel, we think about powerful preachers out there. Who are some of your favorite preachers out there? Anyone? Okay. Yun, gusto ko marinig yun. Kaya grabe, iba talaga. Boss coffee tayo mamaya. But anyway, we think about Billy Graham preaching powerfully from the pulpit. But I want us to understand this. You know what? As a pastor, as a preacher, this is my pulpit right here. I get to preach the gospel here. But that doesn't mean that you cannot preach the gospel where you are. That doesn't mean that you cannot preach the gospel in a foyer. That doesn't mean that you cannot preach the gospel from your office desk, from your classroom. We all have different platforms at which we can preach the gospel. Now, for us to understand what preaching the gospel means, I want to introduce this word called kerux. Okay, kerux. So, can you say that to your seatbelt farewell? Kerux. Okay, this is something new to all of us. So, next time instead of saying charut or cherva, just say kerux. Okay, now what is a kerux? If you're a fan of Netflix, you know what Designated Survivor is? A current TV show that features the old Jack Bauer in 24. You know, his spokesperson is a guy named Seth. Okay, this man right here plays the role of the spokesperson for the United States of America. In the Philippines right now, who's our current spokesperson? Ernesto Abella. Okay, Ernesto Abella is the spokesperson in behalf of the Office of the President. Now, I don't know with you, but don't you think being a spokesperson for someone entails such a big responsibility? Much more to be a spokesperson of the United States of America. Okay, meaning to say you cannot commit any mistakes because whatever you say, whatever you convey to the press is basically what you're telling everyone the president says. Now, let's go back to the word kerux for a while. You know, kerux, to a certain extent, is something like that. Though, this one is a little different. Why? Because kerux basically is a position that was held by some people before. Whenever you say kerux, kerux is an appointed official representative of the king. You folks understand this. Kings in the past, they have a lot of servants. They have a lot of trusted people. One of their trusted people are the cupbearers. What do cupbearers do? Who's one example of a cupbearer in the Bible? A faithful one. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the Persian king. As a cupbearer, what was his role? His role was to simply what? To take a sip or check the cup or food of the king before serving it to the king. So that when someone tries to poison the king, he dies first and spares the life of the king. All right, that's how important his role is as a cupbearer, and he's paid for that. Okay, sensei, gusto niyo yung trabaho niyo. After 4 years in college, tagatikim kayo ng kape. Now, another important role of one of the entourage of a king is not just a cupbearer. Another one is the armor bearer. The armor bearer stands for the king in all loyalty. He carries the javelin, the sword, everything that the king would need in a battle. So meaning to say, the armor bearer is like the right hand of the king. Now another position is the kerux. The kerux is very, very important because kerux, they don't go to war, but they have the power to make or break it. In what sense? Why? Because the kerux, this position are given to people, and these are the people who's going to go before the presence of the king, and whatever the king says, he's going to what? To relay it to the entire subordinate of the king. You folks catch it? It's quite different. Why? Because modern spokesperson right now, they get to hear from the president, and then they convey their message according to their own personality. Not so with kerux of the past. In the past, the kerux are very careful that they don't just write down every single thing that the king says verbatim. They also convey not just the words, but also the emotions. If the king is angry, then he needs to go there and he also needs to be angry. If the king is happy, even if he is not happy, kahit nag-away sila na asawa niya, he needs to be happy when he relays the message. If I was catching it, meaning to say, it's not just the words, but also the emotion and the substance of what the king is saying. That is the role of a kerux. Now, why am I sharing that? The word preach the gospel, the word preach there, is coming from the Greek word keruso, which is derived from the word kerux. So I want us to understand this. As a Christian, God has given us the message of reconciliation. As we have been reconciled to God through the ministry of reconciliation, He has given us the message of reconciliation. And simply put it, He has called us to preach the gospel. To be a spokesperson for Him, for that matter. Now, everybody knows Peter. Going back to Peter, I don't know with you, but if you look at the life of Peter, his life wasn't perfect, but his life was marked with a lot of boldness and passion. Amen? Just try to imagine this with me for a while. Who was the person who took out a dagger and cut the ear of the arresting officer of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was Peter. You know what I was thinking? I tried to review this in the Bible. I realized it wasn't a dagger. It was a sword. So I was like thinking, how in the world does a fisherman keep a sword with him? Meaning to say, this guy is always ready for battle. The guy is just so passionate, but we all understand he had his own blunders. But guess what? Moving forward, God slowly changes him. He starts changing. And now, you know, after coming from a big blunder of what? Denying Jesus Christ. Not once, not twice. How many times? 3 times before the wee hours of the morning. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Okay, I mean, that's crazy. And then Jesus predicted that. Imagine this with me. Upon denying Jesus Christ the 3rd time, then Jesus locks eyes with him. Imagine the guilt. Imagine the conviction. Siguro kung ako si Jesus, talagang tititigan ko yun. Sabi ko sa'yo, traitor ka. Buti na lang hindi ako si Jesus. Kung ako lang. Okay? He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Then after that, we've seen how Jesus restored him. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Reinstated Peter. Now look at this one. After all of these things, something happens. Peter starts preaching the gospel. From being a scared guy to a bold guy once again through the power of the Holy Spirit, he starts preaching the gospel. Simple lang naman, 3,000 lang yung nasave. Just imagine that maybe you're going to Lee Plaza out there. You went to the corner of Lee Plaza and then you start preaching. 3,000 people get saved. But on our day, what shall we do then? Because your message cut them to heart. In short, Peter is a master preacher. He's a master preacher of the gospel. There's just such a conviction when he starts preaching the gospel. Why is that so? Look at this one. I told you a while ago about Kerugs. Their role is to go before the presence of the king. I want you to understand this. Whenever you preach the gospel, your conviction in preaching the gospel stems from the quality and depth of your reception with him. Meaning to say, there's no way you can preach it powerfully if it doesn't hold power over you. So at the end of the day, before we start preaching the gospel, we ourselves should be recipients of the gospel. Our guy right here is a master preacher, loves preaching. But you know what? Again, just like many of us, even if it's all of the instructions of Jesus Christ, he too, like many of us, or like most of us, maybe, has his own attitude. One way you can honestly say that sometimes our attitude gets in the way. Right? You love advancing God's kingdom. You love doing something or doing mighty exploits for God. But because of your insecurity, because of your selfishness, because of your greed, all of these bad attitudes are basically obstacles in our preaching of the gospel. It happens to most of us. It doesn't spare Peter. What is Peter's problem in preaching the gospel? Peter was selective. That's the problem. He was selective, meaning to say, he would only choose a group of people to whom he's going to preach the message that would basically save people. He was selective in preaching the gospel. And we would see that later on as to how all of these things develop. Allow me to read Acts chapter 10 for a while. Now there's a shift here. This is not a story of him being selective. This was after the realization that he was too selective. So this is a bagong buhay kind of Peter already. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 43, it says here, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed.'" Verse 38, it says here, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then it says, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses." The word witness here can be translated to the word martyr. Okay? "And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree," or crucifying him. "But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." In verse 42, it says here, "And Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Now imagine this change of tone here. Now, Peter here preaches about not showing partiality whenever we start preaching the gospel. But before that, he was showing partiality. He wouldn't preach the gospel to the Gentile world, to the Gentile people. Now, I want to quickly look into the obstacles of Peter in preaching the gospel to everyone. Why is it that Peter wouldn't want to preach the gospel to the Gentiles? Why was he hesitant? Why was he hesitant in preaching the gospel to the Gentiles? Two reasons. One is culture. The other one is religion. Culturally first. Let's look at this culturally. You know, culturally, Jewish people wouldn't want to associate themselves with the Roman people. For obvious reason that there's an animosity between the two of them. It's like a Filipino relating with the Spaniards who has basically conquered them. Now, another thing there culturally is that Jewish people think highly of themselves. Despite the fact that they were subordinate to the Roman world, to the Roman people, they think highly of themselves. Why? Because they think of themselves as the people of God, rightly so. So culturally, it's just impossible for Jewish people to relate with non-Jewish people. Remember, the Samaritan woman was actually shocked that Jesus was relating with her. So meaning to say, there's just a divide between the two. Another thing is religion. They feel like the God that we serve and the God that you serve are two different gods, and therefore we cannot relate with you. So at the end of the day, we see valid reasons. Can everybody say it with me for a while? Valid reasons. We see valid reasons culturally and religiously that Peter is giving out as to why he cannot preach the gospel. But guess what? Just because it is valid doesn't mean it's honorable before God. And that is why God starts to break the mindsets of Peter. Now, allow me to share what we can learn from the text that we've just read regarding preaching the gospel. At the end of this, I hope and pray that we will be a people who will have the zeal and the passion to preach the gospel, whatever your personality is. Sometimes we think you have to be loud to preach the gospel. That is not true. You can be a soft-spoken person, and yet people get saved once you start speaking. Amen? Let me look at the first one. Number one is preach the gospel inclusively. Preach the gospel inclusively. Okay? What does it mean when you say inclusively? It is not exclusive. Okay, very good. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, it says here, look at this one. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality." How important is that message? Look at this one. I don't know if you've realized, but just a couple of months ago, dengue vaccine has already been made available. Okay? If you know the records of the deaths that has been happening in the world, the number of deaths that's a result of mosquito bites is actually bigger or larger than the number of deaths of shark bites. So at the end of the day, mosquito bites, dengue, and malaria is such a global problem. But guess what? Thank God for scientists. Amen? Thank God for people that God has given the grace to study all of these things. Dengue vaccine is now available for the public. Now, one has to understand this. It's one thing to make it available. It's another thing for someone to discover it and keep it to themselves. You folks catch that? Why? Because the potential of saving millions of people lie in their hand. It's the same way with the gospel. The gospel is not just a good report. It is the good news that can change the eternal destiny of a person. This is not just talking about saving the physical life. It is talking about securing eternal destination in Jesus Christ. Now imagine this with me, for Peter to say, God shows no partiality. If I'm a Gentile audience hearing this message right there, I tell you what, I'm going to jump on my feet and tell God, "Lord, thank you, because I can be included in this one." He says, God shows no partiality. But in every nation, he says, in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Now let's talk about being selective for a while. Who am I here? Can I honestly say that you chose your seatmate today? You chose your seatmate today. Okay? Iba sa inyo parang nagsisisi. I don't know with you, but do you folks realize that we are naturally selective? We're naturally selective. Mapili tayo, maarte tayo, maarte. Right? For example, if someone gives you a box of Jayco donuts or Krispy Kreme, okay, someone gives you something like that, you don't close your eyes and get anything and then you're gonna be happy with your pick? I don't think so. There are people who love matcha, there are people who love chocolate, but not everyone will like everything. In fact, you will do your best to make sure that you get the best one that you like. Right? You will always get the best. Why? We are naturally selective. For example, for the ladies. Okay, let's talk about the ladies for a while. I haven't met a lady who would stay just 10 minutes in a department store. No way. Just no way. If that happens, it's heaven already. You will never encounter a lady who will go through a rack of blouse and tell the sales lady, "Where's the large ones here, or where's the medium ones or small ones? Here's the small, then they will just get one, go to the cashier and leave them all." No, that never happens. Impossible. Why? Because we're naturally selective. We will always choose what is best for us. We will always choose what looks good on us. Let's say buffet. Let's talk about buffet for a while. Okay? You don't go inside a buffet and get two plates and get everything. Some of us have preference. We go to where? Who among you? You will go to the meat section first, to the steaks. right? Some people would go to the steak first. Some guys would prefer what? The Korean section. Some people would prefer the Chinese section. Some people, if you're like me, I might go straight to the dessert section. You get what I mean? We are naturally selective. You know, it's understandable. It's understandable when you start selecting things for life. But guess what? Whenever it comes to preaching the gospel, we shouldn't be selective. We shouldn't be selective. Why? Folks, I want us to understand this. There's no knowing what God can do through you if you stop being selective with the people that you start preaching the gospel with. And there is also no knowing. I want you to understand this. There's also no knowing what might happen to a person who's supposed to have the opportunity to hear the gospel from you, yet you refuse because you are selective. The every single opportunity that we have, at the end of the day, friends, whenever it comes to preaching the gospel, we preach the gospel to everyone. I was looking at this last night and I realized there's quite some reasons why Christians do not preach the gospel. There's quite some few reasons why we do not preach the gospel. One reason is they don't want to be frustrated or they don't want to be rejected. I don't know with you, but have you ever felt this before? You feel like the Holy Spirit is giving you a nudge. Preach the gospel to that person. Show love to that person. And you feel like, mauloko, wala na. Then you miss the opportunity. Sometimes we fear what? We fear rejection. Now, what you don't understand is, if you're here and someone rejected you for preaching the gospel, anyone has experienced it before? You preach the gospel to someone, they just raise their eyebrows on you. Okay, sometimes they even mock you. They start teasing you or taunting you. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Ito na si hallelujah, praise the Lord. Have you ever felt that way before? Okay, if you've ever felt that way before, I don't know if it has already come to a point where they had problem, they start calling you. They're the first person that you have in mind. But nonetheless, if you preach the gospel and people reject you, I tell you what, it's okay. It's totally fine. I want you to understand this. Some will, some won't, so what? Someone's waiting. At the end of the day, it is basically you who grew in your boldness and in your passion. Just because you're a student doesn't mean that you can preach to older people. Just because you're poor doesn't mean that you cannot preach to rich people. Just because you are a Filipino doesn't mean you cannot preach to Pakistanis or American people. The gospel is for everyone. It's just basically a change of perspective. I want you to understand, you have the message that would save them. The upper hand is on you, so might as well preach it. At the end of the day, you're going to stand before God and tell God, Lord, I preached the gospel. Compared to telling God, Lord, sorry God, nag-shrink back ako. Because I'm so concerned with my image, Lord, that people might make fun of me. At the end of the day, I want you to understand this. This is not about us. Some will, some won't. So what? Someone's waiting. Let's look at the vision of Peter. When he was still selective as to the people that is going to preach the gospel with Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 16, says here, the next day as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. You know, they find this funny. It says here, on the sixth hour, he prayed. Then he became hungry. Anyone of you is like that? You pray, then you become hungry? Okay. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. In verse 11, I saw the heavens open and something like a great shield descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. Then it says here, in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. A voice came to him and says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Then here's what Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. The voice came to him a second time, what God has made clean, do not call unclean or do not call common. This happened how many times? Three times. I want us to understand this. Peter's prejudice, Peter's bad judgment, Peter's problem being selective is so deep-seated that it takes a vision from God, not once, not twice, but three times to convince him that the gospel is for everyone. I hope and pray that just by merely looking at your friends on Facebook, just by merely hanging out with your friends and looking at how they live their life, I hope and pray that those are reasons enough for you to start preaching the gospel to them. Do not let your current situation dictate your limitation to preach the gospel. I want us to understand this. Even as a Christian in Dumaguete City, we are a Christian with a worldwide platform. Why is that so? You have Facebook, you have Instagram, you have Twitter. You can use all of this platform to basically preach the gospel out there. The second thing that I want us to understand is this one. Preach the gospel with words. Preach the gospel with words. Now, if you look at this, if I say preach the gospel with words, it's quite funny. Let me just qualify that. Archie, what do you mean preach the gospel with words? Isn't it that we really preach it with words? Let me just try to qualify that for a while. Allow me to read Acts chapter 10, verse 42. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And here's what it says here in verse 43. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So I want us to understand this. There's no way for the gospel to be received except through preaching. Why am I saying this? Look at this one. Cornelius was like a quote-unquote pre-believer. Do you have friends who would tell you this? Do you have friends who would tell you, Archie or Mav or Arvin, your God is like my God. We serve the same God. Okay lang na, basta ang importante mo tuuta sa Ginoo. You have friends who are like that? Yes. They don't take God seriously, but they take God into consideration. You folks catch that? Now, they are like coming to a place wherein they acknowledge God, but they're yet to listen and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to come to a point wherein they have to take it seriously. Cornelius was like that. He was like a pre-believer, yet Peter needed to go there to explain to him what happened to the man called Jesus Christ for him to believe the gospel and be saved. Folks, I want us to understand this. Living a life of conviction as a Christian is given. It's actually good for us. Living a pure and holy life, great. If you have a company, you have a business, you're doing a lot of socially responsible stuff, great for you. I mean, it's just how God wants you to do it. Doing good works, all of these things are great. But guess what? These things will not save people. These things are only good enough to make Jesus attractive, to pull people's attention. But at the end of the day, once we grab that attention, we have to start preaching the gospel because it is only through the preaching of the gospel that heart starts to change. You haven't fully engaged someone until you've preached the gospel to them. We haven't fully engaged someone until we've preached the gospel to them. There's no other way for the gospel to be received except through preaching. I like what Augustine said. He said, without God, we can't. Without us, God won't. Let me just try to explain it for a while. I don't know with you, but look at this one. Aren't you fascinated with the fact that whenever you think about how God operates in our lives, aren't you fascinated with the fact that God is using you and me to preach the gospel? Look at this. Don't you think that God can do this? Don't you think that God can just do this one day? That He would use His hands, okay? I don't know how it looks like. And He would just reach down from heaven, going towards the earth, and just basically shows it hanging on the cloud. Guess what? People in Brazil, people in Puerto Rico, people in China, people in Guangzhou, Beijing, in Tokyo, in Korea, in Manila, in Dumaguete, everyone gets to see that hands. And guess what? People initially would know because it is innate in us to have an understanding of who God is. And people would immediately know that that is God right there and people will start repenting. Guess what? God could actually do that. He has the power to do that. Yet, He doesn't do that. Why? Because He chooses to partner with you and me. He chooses to partner with us to go out there and preach the gospel. I want to end this by calling one of our new leaders here in Victory Dumaguete. David, can you please join me here for a while? Palapan natin si David. Look at David right here. You know, David, if you look at him, he looks harmless. He does look like a young, fiery David. And I was talking with him a while ago. Preach ka na, bro. No, I'm just kidding. I was talking with him a while ago and I realized, you know what, the guy has such a strong testimony. You can forget everything that I said the past 40 minutes and just look at what has happened to this guy right here. I realized a while ago, I was telling him, hey bro, it's summer right now. Don't you think it's good for you to wear short sleeves? He was like saying, I'm concealing something. What are you concealing? Okay, he's concealing his tattoo. I told him, okay, I think it's fine for you to show your tattoo. Since you mayroong tattoo. Ako wala eh, nunal lang. Okay. Sabi niya, kasi ibang klase yung tattoo ko. Sabi ko, ano ba yung tattoo mo? You wanna show them your tattoo, bro? Pakita mo kaya. Eh, wag naman lahat. Okay, ito. Meron siyang tattoo dito. Now, look at this one. I'm talking about not being selective. You know, David, let me just expose all of us, okay? Just expose all of us Christians. If you look at David and Dunkin' Donuts dressed this way, and someone asks you to preach the gospel to him, I think a lot of you would approach him. But I think your mindsets will change once you see the tattoo that looks like this. For some reason, it changes our perspective. We become judgmental. And I was looking at his tattoo right here. I was like, oh, this is kind of crazy. You can see it from your seats right now. But David, can you tell us what your tattoo is?
This is a picture of I designed Hades.
Hades is hell.
Yes.
Okay.
A Greek word for hell. And this is a three-headed dog, which is called Cerberus, who guards Hades itself.
All right. Meron ka pa sa kabila? Nakita ko kanina.
Opo.
Patingin nga. Ano yan? Parang si Batista, bro. Ano yan?
tribal alibata na ano, that stated Dakilang Batala, which actually means something na ano, blasphemous.
Alright. Now look at this one, friends. Look, I got to talk to him a while ago and he showed me his tattoo. I was like, whoa! That's a different kind of tattoo. Siguro kung magpapatattoo Archie or Rian. Archie loves Rian. Ganun lang. Have you heard about the story of my friend who tattooed the name of his crush on his arm? Okay, when we were in grade 5, I had a friend, grade 5, I had a friend who has such a huge crush on my classmate. My classmate's name's Jamie. Now, everyone likes Jamie, so he tattooed the name of Jamie here to claim ownership of my classmate. So one day, he went to us, grade 5, he was showing us his new tattoo. It says here, it's heart, red heart, big heart, it's there, Jamie. It was like showing it to us, and we started laughing. You know why? Because it's not spelled Jamie, it's spelled Jaime. I don't know where that guy is right now. But anyway, I was talking a while ago, and I realized, I was asking, why do you have those kinds of tattoo? Why not just a picture of this one, a picture of a cat, or, you know, and stuff like that? And I realized it's because of his past. Okay, according to him, according to David, he was a Satanist. And that explains why he has Hades here, hell here, what do you call that three-headed dog?
Cerberus
here, and then another picture of a blasphemous tattoo right here. But look at this one. He will keep doing, or he will be in prison for the rest of his life in a Satanist culture with a Satanist community doomed to eternal damnation. Thank God someone preached the gospel to him. Thank God someone preached the gospel. Thank you so much, David. Thank you. Listen, you have your own stories. You have your own stories. And you are about to be used by God to create stories for other people. It will happen once we start obeying in preaching the gospel. And I want you to understand this. Whenever you preach the gospel, it's always worth it. It's always worth it.